Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for June 15th, midway through June. The sound quality should be better today because I underwent the humiliation of taking my computer to the people that do that sort of thing, and they just turned it on for me.
What happened? You turned your computer off while it was updating?
I didn't mean to. I guess this must be, I tried to turn it on every day for 2 weeks.
It didn't go on.
And then you nothing happened. Nothing. And then I took it in, and he turned. I can only have swear words, so I'm not going to say them out loud. I was so angry.
Did he laugh at you?
No, but he looked at me with, like, what's that word for despising, where you think you loathe someone in your heart for being so dumb? Like, you can tell somebody thinks that you don't even have a right to live because you're too stupid. That's what happened to me. So, anyway, it's back up and going, and so the sound quality should be better, and I can start doing all the work I was supposed to do the last 2 weeks.
And but had you finished your book last time you did this? Because
I finished it.
Did we say anything about it?
I turned it in. Oh, really? Did we forget to?
I don't know if we did or not, but you finished your book. Your second edition of Nailed It.
It's sent to the person who does the next round of things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I said that. Okay. I think we said that. So, yeah, there it is. I have a computer again. That's not what we're talking about today, but I just wanted to say all the, I'm so sad. Anyway, today we wanted to talk about, I don't know if you want to talk about this, but I think it would be helpful to talk about cancel culture and how Christians disagreeing with each other is not or should not be the same as cancel culture. Like, Christians, I think, should not cancel people, period. Like, no Christian should be a part of the canceling of other people, no matter who they are.
So what is canceling?
So, I mean, this is where it gets, like, I haven't actually read an actual definition, but basically, it's been happening for a while, and it's a social media-driven thing where a person who usually accidentally says the wrong thing. So the one that happened a long time ago, this young person, well, she was in an airplane. She tweeted something before the plane took off, a joke. It was an actual joke. And by the time the plane landed, she had lost her job and her life.
Because
the joke wasn't funny according to the entire world, even though, like, it was a joke, but she lost her job. Okay, so since then, all kinds of people have been canceled.
And I read about this guy who was mistakenly identified as someone who committed some crime in New York City. He was a businessman. And then his name was put out by the police department as a suspect.
And then he lost everything.
Yeah. Well, he got it back, but it, like, took a long time because it was rape. I'm not sure what it was accused of, but it's some awful crime that his name was published by the police.
They shouldn't have done that.
And then, you know, he doesn't even use his Twitter account, but he came back and he had, like, horrible stuff being slung all over
the internet.
Yeah. And I think it got to the point, I'm not sure if he got fired or not, but it came close to that.
Okay. So, then, of course, this woman in New York City Park who was filming the African-American, okay, she was canceled. Like, she lost her job and her dog and her life. Okay, and a lot of people, the Humane Society came and took it back from her. Yeah, they took the dog away.
Are you kidding?
No, that was part of the thing. Yeah, so you look stunned.
I can't even...
She gave it, like, they said, you have to give us the dog. And she said, okay, I guess her life was over. She didn't really, anyway.
The Humane Society can come into deprived people's homes and say, we want your dog?
Well, she had gotten the dog from them.
So what?
They brought it. They took it back from her. They don't sell them. It's an adoption. I mean, even though you pay a lot of money, you can't say they're not selling dogs.
That's the most absurd, ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Well, anyway.
I mean, obviously, if you're abusing the dog, but she wasn't.
Well, that's what they said, because she had it in a choke. Like, she was choking the dog in that scenario. She had a dog was having trouble breathing. And so it was all on video. Because she was restraining it from biting the guy. Well, no, she had it off the leash. You got to go back and watch these, but I didn't want to rehash that. I'm just saying a lot of people felt like it was justified for her to be canceled because, of course, she tried to. I mean, she was a racist and was trying to get this guy who was a law-abiding person in trouble. So, she was canceled. Okay, so but the latest one is J.K. Rowling. So I do need to do a bunch of caveat things. What are those called? Where I admit to not knowing anything. Like, for instance, I've never read Harry Potter. I paid my first two children to read Harry Potter because they didn't want to. And then the third child has read all of Harry Potter without being paid. I guess I'm going to have to pay the fourth child read Harry Potter. So I know that sets us outside of proper society, because one of the baselines of American society is that not only do you read all the Harry Potter, but you love them. So I've failed because two out of my six children
have never read them.
No, read them and didn't love them.
Oh.
And only read one. And then the second child read them all and was like, that was fine. Again, huge heresy. So J.K. Rowling made the mistake of saying that men who make themselves into women are not actually women. She said a lot of things about trans rights being wonderful and it's very important. And she loves all trans people. But instead of leaving it there, she went on to say, I think that being a woman is a biological reality and it is an actual thing. You can actually be a woman, and not trans women are not
women,
actual women. So then they began to cancel her. And instead of being canceled, and the way to not be canceled is to crawl back onto social media and pee on yourself, basically.
Like a dog.
Repent and then it can be okay. Okay, here's her tweet. If sex isn't real, there's no same-sex attraction. If sex isn't real, the lived reality of women globally is erased. I know and love trans people, but erasing the concept of sex removes the ability of many to meaningfully discuss their lives. It isn't hate to speak the truth. Okay, well, apparently it is hate. Anyway, she put out a manifesto after that, and people are still reacting to that because she doubled down instead of apologizing, which is not acceptable. And so
it's such an insane idea that you can't say, no, you mustached, broad-shouldered, deep-voiced, ugly person, you're not a woman.
Well, anyway,
I mean, Bruce Jenner is, I mean, it's the level of insanity that Western society has sunk to. The level of depravity. It's not even insane, it's just depravity. So you can't. Is this a reaction to her?
Yeah, people are reacting.
Wow.
I shouldn't scroll through these because it's really amazing. There's a group of people who love her books.
A liberal. She's not a conservative. She's a liberal.
In fact, she posthumously made one of the characters in Harry Potter gay.
Yeah.
But there's a group of people who love her books that are trying to separate her from her books.
What?
Like, it's okay to still love Harry Potter books, but you can hate the author and cancel the author.
It's like living in Mein Kampf without without canceling Hitler. You can't do that.
No, I mean, yes, you can.
Mein Kampf is a great work of literature, but I just hate the author.
Yeah. Okay, so that was all the background.
Okay.
Now you can react.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, I think you see the same thing within in the racial strife going on. So if you're a black conservative, you're not black. So Samuel Say, Bodie Baucham, those guys who are not on board with the leftist social justice movement. No one's against social justice in a real thing, but the leftist thrust of social justice. Even Christian people like Bradley Mason are saying, "Oh well, you know, they don't really count. Those voices are not really black voices." And then they try to make it so that white people can't, who agree with them, are racist for sharing their posts and their articles because, well, you just like black people who agree with you.
So it's kind of, trying to cancel
a view, a whole view. You cannot
cancel a view.
You can't have this view as a black person and still be a black person. That's right out of CRT, by the way. They're curious, but you can't, if you do, you're not real, you're not authentic. And the white people who share you and who value your opinion and think that you're right, they also are, they're racist because they're appropriating your voice and trying to pass it off as authentically black. So it's this weird thing where just like in the Soviet Union, or I guess in Marxist theory, you can't be, even if you're actually a proletariat person, you're actually working in a factory and making in bad conditions. If you love the czar and the church, you're really not proletariat. You're actually bourgeois, right? even though you're factually proletariat, you're actually
so bougie.
Yeah, because of the way you think and the way so that the same kind of idea is going on in the leftist social justice.
Right. Well, so J.K. Rowling is a respected actual woman who's done something. But, okay, there's a horrible word for women who insist that women aren't really women. I can't remember what it stands for, but there's like four letters.
I know, like
a slur.
Yeah.
Against feminist women who think that women are really women. I guess I would probably fall into that. I've not been a feminist before, but if
being a feminist means that you think that they're
women are actually women, human, like
defined
are we,
biologically?
Yeah, are then, we going back to women are human, biologically human, for 100 years? And I guess I'm on board with that. I guess I should go out and march or something. So that's, you're not actually, you don't count if you don't accept the idea that men can be women just as well as women can be women. You're a bigot.
Yeah.
You're wrong and you should be canceled.
We talked about this flows right out of the gospel today, which is
finding your own identity.
Yeah. The real you is within. It's a very Gnostic idea because it has nothing to do with your body. It has nothing to do with what your biological makeup is. It's who you feel you are. So you need to go and dive down into your soul, if they don't, if they believe that they have souls, but you dive down into yourself, your inner self.
You do a deep dive.
And figure out who you are. Are you a woman? Are you a man? Are you gay? Are you straight? Are you something else? Do you love, I don't know, do you love the environment? Are you, do you, what's it called? People who are
other kin.
Erotic with
relationships with
the environment.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know what those people are called.
But whatever it is, that's your truth. And everybody else, and then once you find your truth, then it emerges from into the external world, and people can see it because you proclaim it. And then everybody has to bow to that. Everyone has to say, "Okay, well, my mustache bearded hairy chest boss is now Jeanette. So
I feel like you're always trying to get yourself canceled.
I don't, you know, the antidote to canceling, I think, is what J.K. Rowling is doing, is refusing to be canceled. I'm going to keep, and you can do that if you don't have a job that you're, like, I'm not, my bishop's not going to fire me.
Yeah.
And unless I do something immoral, but if I'd be saying that a male is a male.
Isn't an immoral thing to say.
Right. But you can't do that.
Yeah, so people are really losing, they have real stuff that they're actually losing.
Yeah.
And but that's J.K. terrifying. Rowling
is an actual self-employed offer person. She's making billions of dollars.
So she needs to
it takes you like that to have power to say, to just refuse it and then to make. I read, was this yesterday? Let me see this article about the a group of people who just refused to be, who were canceled but refused to be canceled, and they continue to, they're kind of gathering steam and making a movement of anti-canceling where they're supporting people who've been canceled. And
I forgot this. I don't think it's.
See how well we research for this.
Yeah. Well, so what I wanted, I got, then I said yesterday that really, if you want to take the word, I like the sort of idea of canceling. And basically, humanity is always in the business of canceling God. Like, God says, this is who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. This, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to show you who I really am. And humanity is like, oh, you are so canceled.
Or this is, no, you're not that. This is who you are.
Yeah, this is who you are. Or if that's really who you are, we totally reject you.
Right.
And so I was playing. I mean, I know that, like, I was having a good time.
Well, it can be very subtle, the canceling of God. Because, like, you can say, like, the ACMA priest that I had an argument a while back, who said he's trying to deal with the fact that God commands the Israelites to destroy other nations, and he said through the prophets, and he said, well, the Israelites just thought that God is speaking to the prophets. And ACMA priests said to this, but yeah, they weren't, they may, that doesn't mean that God necessarily was speaking to the prophets.
How does he know? Does he have some other special revelation?
I mean, he's, and then, you know, he was forced to take the tweet down because his bishop stepped in, but he said, but he still, I'm sure he still holds that view, which is heresy, basically. But he was, that's a way of canceling God, because God can't be who he is. And we.
He can't have his own pronouns.
He can't reveal himself to be a certain way. And withstand our present political.
Yeah, no, God doesn't come out of this whole thing.
Of course he does. I mean, he's in trees sitting right there laughing at us. But, and I don't mean he can't in a
cosmic way.
In a cosmic sense. I mean, but in our society, we will not let him breathe.
Right. So, but the church should go and get people who have been canceled and welcome. Like, I feel like people who are being canceled are like the babies left by the side of the road to be eaten by wolves. Like, one way that Christians could do evangelism right now is to reach out
to people who
have been canceled and say, I just want to share some
news
with you. There's a person who will never cancel you.
That's true. But look on social media, the Christians are on the bandwagon.
Okay. And that's where I'm saying, like, I get that the world is going to cancel people, but Christians do not cancel. And so there, I wanted to draw, we have to do it quickly now, some distinctions out that I think are important for Christians. And one,
you had a comment on your,
yes, somebody said, and I haven't put it up because I don't know if I will. Actually, the church can cancel you. May I draw your attention to the rite of excommunication, which I know Anglicans have as well as Catholics. And regardless how infrequently that rite is formally invoked, Christians as well as other people are often very good at informally letting someone know when she's not welcome. Okay, so first of all, I think we should say that being excommunicated from the church is not the same as canceling, because...
Well, it's a difference between mob justice and an actual legal procedure.
Yes. So there's the mob, there's actual justice, but then there's also, we'll say more to say that, and I'll try not to forget what I was going to say.
Well, because setting the church aside for just a second, everyone recognizes, hopefully, we used to. I'm not going to speak now because now our society is in out of ruins and burning and looting is going on all the streets and no one's doing anything about it, which they should do something about it, but no one's doing anything about it. But there's a pretty common distinction between someone has committed a crime, we're going to put them up on charges, and we're going to have an actual trial, versus that guy we think committed a crime, so we're going to take him out of his house and lynch him on the tree. There's a huge, massive difference in those things. And canceling is more like we're going to lynch the guy. It's mob justice. It's not actual justice because there's not been a process or procedure to establish guilt. And then typically in mob justice, the penalty is far greater than the actual crime.
Yeah.
Not always, but typically. So bringing it back into the church, church discipline is the established legitimate way Jesus laid down for Christians to have an ordered process of adjudication when someone is unrepentant of something they've done. So if I put myself in the bad person's seat, if I were a racist, if I were from the pulpit or online or whatever, spewing ethnic prejudice, then the church would have legitimate reason to begin the process of
involving witnesses,
evidence, bringing me either to repentance or taking my collar away. For a parishioner, it would be, okay, we need you to repent. So I'd go to that person privately, maybe first, and say, I need you to repent and take down all the stuff you put online or whatever. If he would refuse, and I'd take it to, we have to go to the second level of having other elders involved. If he still refused, and we'd take it to the church. And if he still refused, then you'd say, okay, look, you're defiant in your blasphemous hatred of people made in God's image. And so you're now... You can't take communion. Right? Then that's a very different than a load of people deciding with no evidence except their own hearts and no process except their own clicks to destroy someone.
So that was the other thing that justice within the church, the purpose of doing a process of justice in the church is in order that a person has time to repent. Like the process of going through church discipline isn't, the hope, the desire is always that the person at any way along the process will
repent
and be restored. And if it is
full restoration,
you're not cast out. Like,
yeah,
and then huge. If you are excommunicated, you are to be treated as the ungodly who then need
the
evangelism and the gospel. So right.
There's no finality to it.
Right. There's no shunning. There's no getting rid of somebody forever or casting them into outer darkness as long as we're on this side of the grave. That's totally up to Jesus. And even like systems of justice where, if you commit a crime and you go before a judge, the whole purpose of that too is so that, okay, if you've done something and then you serve time in prison or you pay a fine, you are then restored back to human community. There's a way back in.
Right.
The problem with cancel culture, as far as I can tell, is that, and this is by design, there is no way back in.
Yeah.
You are never to come back in. And so you're creating a second, another class of people who can never come back in.
Mm.
And that, to me, seems horribly dangerous and
bad. It's of a piece with the whole, the critical theories, whiteness, where you're just white, and there's nothing you can do about that. You have inherited inherently a racial prejudice and a view toward black people or people of color that you just have to spend the rest of your life in out of repentance, divesting of your whiteness for it. There's no hope. There's no way out of it. There's no grace. There's no redemption. There's no forgiveness in that kind of system.
And look, I think we can say without any trouble that doing that to a group of people, or any singular person for for, like, so enslaving people from Africa, making them into not even human, was a really bad thing to do. Like, that was really, that was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the cost of that in human terms and has been going on for like 500 years now. So that was really, really terrible. We should stop doing that.
There's redemption from that too in the gospel. So the guy who wrote Amazing Grace, the slave trader, what's his name? Newton was his last name. He became an abolitionist. He repented. He confessed his sin.
And he was forgiven.
And Nathan Bedford Forrest, who is a leader of a general of the Confederate cavalry, who was one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. He, after the war, he completely turned around and he repented of that, and he spoke in favor of dismantling the Ku Klux Klan and all the race laws. Toward the end of his life, he was just utterly repentant and forgiven by Christ. But yeah, now see, the present culture wants to tear down his statues now, and that's another thing, we're canceling his history. You can't just look at a historical figure in light of his own or her own context and say, you know what, look, we know better now, but this person was honored for this thing that he did or she did. We've got to tear down the statues. We got to redo it. We got to remake history, canceling historical figures.
Did you see the tweet I sent you this morning?
Which is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. But
I sent you something that I thought you would enjoy.
You know, even we had a fairly prominent African studies person in our church for a while who talked about this. You know, I think I asked her in a class one time to speak about, you know, should we do away with Confederate statues? Should we do away with any kind of symbol or sign of the old stuff? She said, no, people, there's good and bad in every, in every person. There's a heritage there. Oh my goodness.
So the BBC, people working in the BBC are stressed by the statue of Orwell outside the BBC headquarters, and they would like the statue to be in real Orwellian fashion.
That is classic.
They want the statue of Orwell to be taken down.
Orwell's
because
the one who wrote 1984.
The themes, they say, are no longer in keeping with the BBC's values.
Orwell, we can do better.
Director of Better. We got to watch that again.
Yeah.
Orwell was concerned that a powerful media organization backed by massive state funding could be misused to promote a warped worldview in which criticisms of Marxist ideology could be suppressed.
That is like, do they see how?
I mean, I hope it's a joke, but it's The Guardian. I hope it's a joke. I hope it's a joke.
See how asinine that
Okay. I want to turn this around though for a minute, because I want to draw a distinction between naming names, which I've recommended Christians and canceling people. How is naming names not the same as canceling? Because it's not the same, but I think you should explain that.
Well, I think in your article you were saying if someone's a false teacher, you need to be able to say this person's a false teacher. You have to identify the person, because you're especially those of us who are in the pastoral realm have to do that, because we have to warn people away from false teachers. That's part and parcel of our job. We can't get around that.
That's different than wishing that somebody would drop off the face of the earth and
we are hoping that people don't buy their books and don't read their articles and do all that stuff. But there is a difference between, again, just being viscerally offended by something someone writes and then getting a Twitter mob together and trying to get that person fired, and identifying an actual false teaching that can harm people and say, look, this person is a dangerous person to listen to or to read. You're not you're not trying to get that person fired necessarily. You're not trying to get that person to lose their Twitter account or their Facebook account or shut them up. You're just letting people know this person's dangerous. And so, like, you know, there's lots of people, lots of heretics out there. Take let's name one of the heretics you talked about. Jen Hatmaker, right. So, I mean, would you like her to die and to have I mean, I would like her to stop writing, yeah.
But I don't think she should, she and her husband shouldn't be in the church there, and I wish they would go
into the, I wish they would be excommunicated, like, I wish they would be identified as non-Christians, all that. But I wish they would, hey, it's a free country. Keep talking.
Yeah, that's, okay, so here's the problem. Because people have conflated themselves with the ideas that they hold. So, if you disagree with J.K. Rowling about trans women, you can't. It's her idea. Like, you can't talk about the idea. She herself must die, which is really tragic.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that was sort of a fun thing back in the day where, you know, your speech is violence. And actual violence isn't violence, but speech is violence.
Speech is violence, yeah.
Well, everybody thinks that now.
Yeah.
And that is a terrible, terrible thing. Like, that's become mainstream. And no, your speech, no, you should engage with someone's ideas and thoughts without trying to destroy them. And you should be able to take it. If you say something about a subject, you should be able to withstand the criticism of other people about your ideas without becoming personal about it,
yeah,
or trying to cancel somebody forever. I know that that's a super controversial thing to say. I realize the thing that I just said is basically wicked, because all speech is violence. But I just thought
we're all for. I mean, so to say someone's a heretic is not to say their life should be ruined in their
The reason you would want to say somebody is saying and doing the wrong thing is to give them a chance to turn around and go back and mm-hmm. to correct the right direction.
Yeah. No, I mean, if the heretic is actually an ordained minister in the church, yes, I would want them to lose their position as an ordained minister of the church.
Yeah,
I would
go
want
do
them to
something
starve.
Else.
And,
yeah.
And not be able to feed their family.
You
and
could totally
house.
Get another job. Like, could we have a more flexible economy that didn't mean that people had to preach bad things from the pulpit in order to survive? Maybe
right.
we could diversify our economy
right.
so that.
But it's, you know, this is what happens too. I think this is what happens when you have human law. And I'm not talking about human civil law. Like the judicial process. I'm talking about the legalistic thrust of the human sinful heart, where we want to make our preferences into laws and enforce them on other people. That's a gospel-less system. The every human being is bent toward is imposing my views on you and having you submit. And be hurt or lose something because you're not agreeing with me. It's a very narcissistic way of being, and it happens in small ways and in great ways, in large ways. Right now, you know, that is the left. The ideal of the left is that you have these set virtues that they have conjured up and taken good English words and concepts like tolerance and diversity and justice, even twisted, impose their own artificial understanding of those words on them, and then use them to conform other people, not just in a persuasive way, like, hey, this is our ideal, why don't you believe it, but in a coercive way to conforming to these preferences. There's no redemption, there's no gospel. It's just human law imposed and piled on the shoulders of people, not unlike at all the Pharisaical system.
Yeah. Well, it's really sad. I mean, I feel like this is a terrible
yeah.
time for people. But Christians should not cancel each other.
Yes.
I keep saying that. But if you find the desire within yourself to cancel someone in whatever way.
Now, it's also different than saying, like,
you shouldn't do that.
Right. But, like, okay, let's say you have a Christian friend who's writing things on the internet that just make you angry and hate the person. It's okay to mute the person.
Yeah. Right?
So you don't hate the person.
That's not canceling.
That's not canceling. That's different than...
Muting and unfollowing is different than canceling. In fact, if it allows you to keep the humanity of the person more in view so that you are able to think of that person as a human person, then that's a good thing too. I've done that a lot because I feel like having deep feelings of hatred towards other people based on how wrong they are is bad for my soul. So I snooze and mute people, especially Christians, in huge numbers, in order that I may pray for them and think well of them and count them as more important than myself without being angry all the time. But I also think, like, if you see somebody that's being canceled, you should reach out to them as a Christian and tell them about Jesus.
That's a good idea.
Like, actually private message J.K. Rowling and be like, well, I don't know, there's smaller people who are being canceled. I saw you were canceled on social media, and I just wanted to let you know about my personal Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who will never cancel you. If you want life, if you want human community and society, there's a way to have that outside of the highways and byways of, or the broad wide road to destruction that's going on. And then inside the church, because I think there's a real swiftness, even in person, to sort of write somebody off. You shouldn't do that. You know, if you go to church with people in real life, you should not just write them off and decide that what they believe is outside the pale of human society. That's not good.
There's a real danger in this with the social, with the critical race theory stuff going on and the warped sense of social justice going on, that you can get so woke that those who are not woke are
not human.
Are your enemies.
Yeah.
And when they're actually your brothers and sisters, and you just disagree about something politically.
Yeah. Like the woke thing, if you are woke and the people around you are not woke, you're having a political disagreement.
Yeah. And you're layering moral virtue atop of it so that you are the virtuous one and the others are not.
Which is really dangerous.
Yeah. That's the whole problem with the woke movement, is it presents a second gospel, another gospel. It's not a gospel at all. That just creates the instead of everybody being equally repugnant and degenerate because of our sin, no, only those who disagree with you about wokeness are degenerate and repugnant, and you have redeemed yourself by becoming woke. And so it's just
you can't do that.
False gospel. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, now that we solved that thing,
yeah.
I thought it would take more time. Do you have anything else that you wanted to say this week? Anything else that
I would point our fans to the Stand Firm podcast, which I'm doing every week on Wednesday.
Do you think that it's good for you to be doing so many podcasts? Are you going to saturate the market?
The more my voice is out there, the better the country's going to be. I think more people are saying, what does Matt Kennedy say about this? What does Matt Kennedy think about this? So I'm meeting that demand for my voice.
Oh, mine's important too. I'm sad that you're podcasting so much because I have to listen to twice the number of podcasts.
You haven't listened to the last one.
I mean, I don't know how to balance that with all the books I'm trying to read, which is really, really hard. I have so many books I'm trying to read. Well, do you want to say anything about the garden?
I love our garden. It's really been really good this year. We've spent years with soil amendment because the soil was so bad, and now it's like
It's really good.
It's good. I'm enjoying. When I grew up, my mom and dad, we didn't have a backyard. We had a back garden because they just completely transformed our backyard into a forest with flowers. It was just overflowing. You saw it. It's just beautiful. And I've been wanting to have a house so I could
recreate my childhood.
And,
I think it's better to recreate your childhood or whatever in your house and your garden than in the lives of your children. You'd be like,
yes, you're going
to
be like,
you're going to be just like, no, to sculpt a space in the earth according to your utopian dreams is better than. I did love the Chaz gardening thing, because I've been pulling things up and planting them in other places, and like I've beat up my hands to death, but I loved that they tried, like they dumped some earth on the ground.
It's like the 10x10 gardens plot,
and then they're
like waiting for the tomatoes to come up. They just planted them.
Did they even like plant real plants, or did they just like pull other things up and stick them in the ground?
I don't know, but come up with a better name. I know Capitol Hill
Autonomous Zone. Chaz.
It's, you know, isn't that like the name of the waspish frat boy?
I know.
Chaz. Hey, Chaz, let's go to the club today and play some tennis.
Well, I don't know how waspish they are because they're armed.
Well, they're waspish in the sense that they're not waspish, but they're white, pasty college students.
Yeah.
Who really need to be.
Don't say it.
I have a perfect solution to the unrest.
No, just stop.
It's an ancient solution that goes all the way back to the first, you know, to what actual leaders have always done when they're riots and looting and insurrection. That's right. There's a effective answer to this, which can be accomplished if a leader would have leadership skills.
Yeah. Well, that's too hard to find in this day and age. So it's a good thing you're not in charge.
There would be no more riots. It'd be done.
You'd be like Mussolini.
I'd be like every government, but the government has one job, and that is to protect the innocent people and innocent people's livelihoods from chaos and unrest and evil people. That's why God gave them the sword, to stop Chaz, to put an end to it with the sword. No. So yeah,
no, I don't think they should go out there with swords right now.
Arrest that really... everybody, or you know,
yeah, they should just arrest everyone.
Yeah, and you end it. I'm not understanding why the police are pulling back 1 centimeter from these little punks. Take them down. I'm sorry.
My gosh, I thought we weren't going to do that.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm stopping.
You're going to be canceled so fast. It is really interesting. Children have been paying attention to it, which I find a little bit stressful. I kind of wish they had no idea,
I'm proud of my sons. They have the same sentiments about this that I do, and they want.
Why are they calling? They're like, why are they calling it Chaz? That's what.
But if you have a revolutionary compound, don't name it Chaz. Name it like,
I know.
I don't know. Surely there's a better.
You could name it Mein Kampf.
Well, there's a better communist name out there than Chaz, I'm sure. Like some kind of, I don't know, the Trotsky Center or something. I don't know.
Well, I think we've done all we can do here, and we should move on with our lives. You have to go do something today, and I have to garden. It's very important. So, thank you so much for listening, and maybe we'll be back next week.